Tell your neighbor, praise the Lord.
Tell your neighbor, praise the
Lord. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God for this another beautiful day. Certainly our hearts have been lifted up by Brother Rose and by those men that have gone before us. We want to appreciate Brother Kwesi Webb, who did our announcements this morning. We're appreciative for also Brother Robert Moore, who led us in prayer, and also Brother William Harris, who led us to the throne of God. At this time, if you're visiting, we want you to know that you are indeed an honored guest. I have one visitor's card, and we're going to ask, I think it's Tania Daniels, to stand. And her home congregation is Derrick Memorial Baptist Church, but she's a guest of Angel Barrymore. That's her cousin. Amen. It's a pleasure having you with us, and we have a gift package right there behind you, and we just want to encourage you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have to be in our midst. Are there any others who are visiting with us this morning? Any to my left who are visiting? Are there any to my right who are visiting? If you are, please stand. Let us know who you are and where you're from. Give us your name and where you're from. Okay, good to have you with us this morning. Amen. And there's a gift for you also. Is there anyone else who would like to be acknowledged this morning? We have with us the Wades, and they're always welcome. Been an integral part of this congregation, and it's always wonderful to have them in our midst. Matter of fact, we put Brother Wade to work this morning. So we just appreciate them dearly. It's also a great thing this morning. We need to do some amens on this one. One of our very senior members, I think Brother Clay is 90, 80 what? 81, okay. Brother Clay is 81. I was thinking they gave you a few more years, so you got a long way to go. Okay, but Brother Clay is with us. He was in the hospital, and he had been ill, and so he's back in our midst, and it's great to have him in our midst. Amen. Amen. It's always a time of rejoicing when someone is very ill and they're able to come back and to be in our presence. Let us keep in our prayers our youth. We have about 20 or so who are away, about 16 youth, and so youth workers make up the rest of that, who are in Kalamazoo at the State Youth Conference. Just keep them in your prayers. They should be getting back a little later this afternoon. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5 once again, if you would. And I'll read just a verse, and then I want to share a message with you this morning. Matthew 5, beginning at verse number 13. As Jesus preaches from his Sermon on the Mount, a sermon to those who had gathered around him, in verse number 13, after the Beatitudes, he mentions, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it become salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men." This morning I want to talk about salt just for a minute. Have you noticed that some people cannot even eat a meal unless they first add a little salt to it? Salt is a good thing, but medical science tells us that we have to watch our intake of the salt, not too much sodium, because if we do, it may have a negative effect on our bodies. That is when we consume too much salt. Nevertheless, salt is a part of our life. Isn't that right? And this morning, I want to share with you what Jesus had to say about salt. So let's talk about salt for a few minutes this morning, if we would. First of all, we need salt. We need salt because salt is important. In Old Testament times, salt was a necessity of life, and it still is today. Salt is a mineral that is used since ancient times as a seasoning, as a preservative, as a disinfectant, as a component of ceremonial offerings, and even as a unit of exchange. Salt is very important. Salt has always been important. Salt is even in our time used to heal. Doctors have finally come around to acknowledging that if you have a sore throat, you might want to use some warm water with a little salt in it. And it'll heal your sore throat. Amen? Salt is used to clear the ice and the snow so that our roads might be travelable. And not only that salt is used to preserve our foods. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of the food that we purchase that's in cans and that has a whole bunch of sodium in it, and why we have to watch our intake. Salt is good, but too much is not good for you. Amen? Oh, that's all the medical advice I got this morning. Salt. We need salt. And God did some interesting things with salt. God added salt even to the sacrifices that the children of Israel had. God instituted something called a covenant of salt. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all of your offerings, you shall offer salt." Amen. And then let us also notice, in Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says, "And all the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offered to the Lord, I have given to you and to your sons and to your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and to your descendants with you." This morning, as we talk about salt, the title of the lesson is Salt for Your Season. We want to talk about salt for your season. Salt is a symbol of life. It represents purity and the influence of good over evil. Salt stood for things that would not decay or be broken. Salt was very necessary, as I said, in the Old Testament. It was so important that there was a saying among the people, and that saying was, "There is bread and salt between us." And what that meant was that when there was an agreement, it meant that that agreement was confirmed with a meal. And so there's bread and salt between us means not only have we talked about it, not only have we agreed to it, but we have sat down and had a meal to go along with it. Amen? Amen. There's bread and salt between us. Mm-hmm. That was from the Old Testament. But notice God even made it clear and understood that that was a part of their life, this salt. He even said a salt of the covenant with him and the children of Israel. as they put the salt into the sacrifices, they were to remember that they were to be obedient to the things that they had agreed with their God. Their salt and bread, or bread and salt between us. Salt has influence. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Esther was salt for her season. The Bible tells us about Esther, how that she came to the throne under some unique circumstances. Vashti, who was the queen before her, determined that she was not going to answer the summons of the king to come and to show off her beauty before all of those that he had invited. And as they were having a meal and as the festivities were going on, he wanted to show off his wife. Amen? The Bible says she was beautiful. Sometimes you want to show off your wife, hey, brothers? She's got on some nice clothes. Amen? She's looking good. And so he was wanting to show his wife off. But she said, I'm not coming. She didn't come. And it became a problem. And again, this is in Esther chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It became a problem because she didn't show up. And some of the other officials in the court began to say, man, your wife didn't show up. Didn't you tell her to come? You know how people can get you. Didn't you tell her to come? Well, she said, no, she didn't come. He said, well, you better fix this thing before it spread throughout all the kingdom. Next thing you turn around and all of them will be saying, I ain't coming. All right now. And so what he did was he said, you have a decree between the Medes and the Persians, and say in this decree that she didn't show up and no longer is she going to be the queen. You fire her and get another queen, in other words. And so it was determined then that that would be the law. And they went searching to find another beautiful virgin who would be pleasing. And it ended up that Esther, who was a Jew, came to the throne. She should not have been there. She should not have been chosen. But she ended up in the palace of the king of the Medes and the Persians. And so it's quite interesting that she came to power under those circumstances. But that wasn't the end of the story. Mordecai, who was her relative and who was a great confidant to her, when she is queen now, there came a time when it was a decree that went out throughout all that land that if you were a Jew, that they were going to cause a lot of problems for you. They were going to destroy them. And so everyone that was a Jew in the kingdom was upset, and everyone was stressed out, and everyone was just plain old having a bad time, like some of the folks who come from Mexico today, some of the folks who come from Iran, some of the folks who have come from Eastern countries because a decree has been sent out. Do you feel me this morning? There was upheaval and there was stress among the people. And Mordecai sends her a message. You see, hey, she's queen now. She's big stuff. She's queen bee. She has gotten to the top. And you know, sometimes when you're at the top, the food is good. When you're at the top, the accommodations are good. When you're at the top, things are just going smooth. Isn't that right? But Mordecai sends her a reminder. And that reminder was, you need to be salt for this season. I'm talking about salt has some influence. Mordecai reminded her that at this time, you need to have some influence. You're not sitting up there on the throne just for any reason. And listen to the words that he said. His words to Esther. Esther 4, 13 and 14. Do not imagine that you are in the king's palace, that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all of the Jews. For if he remained silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Do you get what he told her? He sent her a wake-up call. He told her, it's time for you to be salty. He told her, what I want you to do, first of all, recognize that just because you are sitting in the palace, you are still a Jew. And when it comes down that all the Jews are going to be destroyed, you're going to be a part of them too. He gave her a wake-up call. And then he said, you need to think of something. God don't need you no more than he needs anybody else. Some of us have forgotten that God can raise up rocks to do his will. He said, because if you don't do it, he said, God will cause it to come from somewhere else. If you don't bring the deliverance, if you don't let God use you, he said, it'll come from somewhere. But he said, oh, by the way, who knows? You're sitting up there in royalty right now, eating all of that good food. Who knows that maybe God put you there for this very reason? You see, God is an orchestrator. And when he needs some influence, when he needs something done, he will choose someone to be an influence. He will choose someone to make a difference. He will raise up someone to cry out. He will use you if you let him. And so she was called on to be an influence. Now that was tough stuff because you had a rebellious queen who had just bitten the dust. And now, unless the king said, come here, you didn't come. I hate to say it like this, because he had plenty of women. He had a whole bunch. And he called the ones when he wanted. Amen? That's just a fact of the matter in the Old Testament way of life. And if you weren't called, you could be disposed of. But she is now going to have to find a way to request to be in his presence and to come before him and plead for the people contrary to what has been said. Oh, for such a time as this. The season that she was in called on her to be salty, called on her to stand up, called on her to be strong in her faith. And so, if you read the story, you'll find out she was able to muster enough salt to get the job done. Praise be to God. Salt has some influence. Now stay with me, church. I got something for you. Stay with me. There's a great need for Christians today. For Christians to be salty in this season. We need salt for this season. Now let me break it down. The season is a time in which we're living. The season is your life and the season is my life. The season is the times at hand. Let me tell you something. God has always needed some seasoning influence among evil people. We as salt are called on to be a preserving influence in the world, to preserve it from total corruption. What I mean by that in Genesis chapter 18 is a prime example. The city of Sodom was a wicked city. City of Sodom was given over to lusts and passions and all kinds of things and ungodliness. But Abraham bargained with God. He said, God, if there are just 50 good people there, righteous people in that city, will you not destroy it? And God said, for 50, I will not destroy it. And then he said, how about if it's missing five, just 45? And he said, for 45, I will not destroy it. He said, Lord, have patience with me. How about if there's only 40, will you destroy it? And he said, for 40, I will not destroy it. And he said, Lord, I know you're getting on your nerve, but how about for 30 people, will you destroy it? He said, for 30 people, I will not destroy it. He said, Lord, don't hurt me. No. He said, Lord, how about for 20 people, will you destroy it? And he said, for 20 people, I will not destroy it. And he said, Lord, please have patience with me. How about for 10, will you not destroy it? And he said, for 10 people, for 10 righteous souls, I will not destroy it. Don't you see how bad Sodom was? Not even 10 righteous people were in that city. What a testament to the fact that that city was that bad. I'm so glad, and that's the difference today in the world that we live in, is that there are some righteous people around, amen? Amen. That the church is around, that God's people is around, regardless of how many folks are gangbangers, and regardless of how many people are dope dealers, and regardless of how many people are standing on the corner selling their body, there are some good people around. God said, for 10 people, I will save the city. If there are just 10 people who are salty, 10 people who have righteousness in them, 10 people who are doing right, I'll save the city. But there were not 10. Let me get on with my message. As I said, we need salt. The paradox of this whole thing is, we need salt. But notice, Jesus said, we are the salt. Jesus said, you and me are the salt. He didn't say, and he was not teaching us to be salt. He says, you are the salt. Notice in Colossians 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, let your salt, your season always be, or your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Again, James says in James 1 and 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. In other words, when you have some salt in you, you're not just a vain talker, always talking and not doing what you say and tell other people to do. In other words, you walk, not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. Amen. God will use us if we're salty. Did you catch that? God will use us if we're salty. Again, in Matthew 5 and verse number 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? God will use you if you're salty. In Mark 9, 49 and 50, the Bible says, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will it be made salty again? And he says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Lose the salt, you become valueless. When the saltiness has gone out of the salt, it has no value. It's stale. Let me move a little further. The world needs to see salt. prayer produces salt. I ask the question, are you salty? Obedience to God's word produces salt. Are you salty this morning? Endurance produces salt. Are you salty this morning? Perseverance produces salt. Are you salty this morning? Having people lie on you and still maintaining your composure produces salt. Having people despise you and say all kind of evil things against you. Now you know why Jesus said what he said in the verses before this. He was trying to find some salt. He was trying to explain to them what it means to be salty. Yes. Are you salty this morning? It's all right to praise. It's all right to celebrate. It's all right to lift up holy hands every now and then. It's all right to enjoy yourself doing the worship. But the question I want to put on the table is, are you salty? If you're not salty, then something is missing in your life. If you look around you, you'll see that there's a need for salt. Because the natural has become that which is unnatural. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse really beginning at 24. Therefore, God gave them over in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desires toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. When you look around, not only is it's unnatural, but you see unholy. Not only do you see that, but you also see haters and backbiters. Not only do you see that, but you also see murderers and thieves, and you see all kinds of things that's going on in this world. And there's a need for salt. There's a need for the world to have a preserving influence. There's a need for us to understand that if anybody's going to make a difference, it's going to be you and me. Because God says, you are the salt. God says, you're here for this season. You're here now for this reason. You're here to make a difference. Oh, yeah. Let me bring the lesson to a close. But I got to tell you something. It's time for us to get the salt back. He asked the question. Again in Matthew chapter 5. And that question near the end of verse 13 is, as it talks about and really makes a statement, and that is, it is no longer good for anything. That is the salt that has lost its saltiness. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. I have been told, and commentators have said, that it was a common practice that when there was salt that was used for practical purposes, and when that salt had lost its saltiness, when it had lost all of its influence, then it would be used to patch holes in the road. And because of that, then it was trampled under the foot of men. Don't you know when God can't use you? Don't you know when you are not doing what God has called you to do? Don't you know when you're not living like God wants you to live? Don't you know when salt is not in you, you have no power to influence anyone? we need to get the salt back. When we get the salt back, lust will be replaced by love. When we get the salt back, we will have the true essence of who we are. When we get the salt back, backstabbers will be turned into blessers. When we get the salt back, we will choose to do right and not wrong. When we get the salt back, gossipers will become gospel teachers. When we get the salt back, jealousy will become admiration. When we get the salt back, apathy and neglect will be replaced with love and reverence for God. When we get the salt back, cold and evil hearts will be transformed into good and tender hearts when we get the salt back. Are you salty this morning? Salt for your season. Salt for this time. Salt for your life. Salt for this community. Salt for your family. Salt for all those neighbors and everyone around you is needed. But the question is, are you salty? And will you get the job done? If you want your life to be salty, you must obey Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. If you want your life to contain salt, you have got to come in contact with the one who makes the salt. You see, salt is a mineral. Salt resides in the earth. God made the earth and God produces it. Man does nothing to make the salt. All man does is refine the salt. This morning, if you're here and you're not a child of God, but you see that there's a need for a divine influence, and you know that God wants to use people like you and me. So if you want to be salty this morning, first thing you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Second thing you got to do is repent of your sins. And the Bible says in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must be willing to confess Christ before men. If you don't confess Christ before men, he will deny you before his Father who is in heaven. But if you confess him before men, he will confess you before his Father, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you must be willing to make the commitment. So there's bread and salt between us. Enter into the covenant of baptism that places us into the relationship, a covenant relationship with God. Baptism washes away our sins. Baptism gets rid of the impurities that we have in our lives, and then we are to walk and go forward in newness of life because Christ has added us to his church, Acts 2:47. And if we are faithful until death, then we will receive a crown that will not fade away. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. I ask the question, are you salty this morning? Do you want to be salty? If you're not a child of God, but you want to influence, God is depending on us. If there was just 10 righteous people, Solomon would not have been reduced to a pile of salt and ashes. If it was just 10 righteous people. Won't you stand up and be one of the righteous today? Won't you stand up and put Christ on in baptism today? Won't you stand up when someone needs to say what the Word of God says? Won't you stand up and raise your children according to the will of God? If there's anyone here this morning who's not in Christ and you want to get it right, I'm going to encourage you when we sing the song of invitation to come down the aisle. If you're here this morning and you know that if Christ was to come and look at you and evaluate you for saltiness, he would throw you on the ground and say, trample over it. Because the salt has gone out. No longer is it any good. It has no power. It has no influence. Only good to be trampled under the foot of man. Because who you are, the essence of who you're supposed to be, is not there. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.
Notice number 10.